Blog Talk Radio.
Great. I don't know if you're in the same boat that I am. I went out to my garden yesterday, and I have like about a 10-gallon bucket full of tomatoes. So we're handing those out like mad, and we can't get people to take them because all of our neighbors are in the same boat. So, but we're having a great time with it, so that's fun. And welcome this morning to We Uplift Radio. My name is Aricia LaFrance, and I bring psychology into marketing. So I help people put together their marketing plans with their own personality and the personality of their ideal clients in mind. We are here today to really support and uplift you. And We Uplift Radio is actually brought to you by the Whispering Energy Collaboration. So if you want to take your business to the next level in an atmosphere of collaboration, please visit them at whisperingenergy.com. So that's www.whisperingenergy.com. I just finished up a meeting with them, and they are doing some amazing things to support and educate members. And today I am just so excited and happy because I am joined by veteran intuitive Jeannie White. She has done extensive work in this field. I don't think that I can do it justice with an introduction. And she has mentored with the Lindwalls, and she'll tell you a little bit about that as we go through. She is also very well-grounded and was named as one of the top 1,000 businesswomen in America. And her work with survivors of Hurricane Katrina, she was honored as Volunteer of the Month. So she is just a really altruistic, really amazing lady. She's a writer, a teacher, a healer, and so many other things. And she joins us today to help us tap into our own psychic abilities. So thank you so much for joining us today, Jeannie.
Thank you, Alicia. I appreciate you being here. And thank you to your audience for being here also. It's exciting. Exciting times we're living in, especially it's great because now that we have more of a mainstream and also scientific people are coming along stating that actually, you know, wow, this psychic stuff really may be possible as we can prove it from our scientific state of mind. Yes, it can be proven, kind of, we think.
You know, it's funny because I teach a class on the psychology of the aha moment to help people to, you know, kind of get more inspiration, more of those, you know, insight moments where we're like, oh my gosh, how did I ever think of this? I'm a genius. You know, those are such great moments. And so, you know, I help teach people about that. But I have neurologists and psychiatrists in my class, and they're so great because they're like, so tell me about how the brain works with this, and I can give them a little bit of insight into that and sort of what we know, but really it's the connections that are made within the brain, so it's like really hard to say, you know, this is how it works because we can't map that yet, and I think it sounds like we're just on the cusp of understanding the science of being psychic, but we're not quite there yet. Of course, I think that there are a lot of people who do, you know, understand that and say, yeah, you know, it's scientific.
Oh, yeah, exactly. In fact, one of the modalities that I use is called matrix energetics, and it's solely based on quantum physics, because quantum physics, once you start studying it without the equations, actually explains that as soon as you, the consciousness, we as a soul, look at something, it changes.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I came across an article on the internet just day before yesterday from the Huffington Post. It was posted there by an MD, and the title of it, Does the Past Exist? Evidence suggests your past isn't set in stone. And it even quotes Dr. David Hawkins. And
let me
just read you one short sentence.
Please.
It says, in 2002, scientists carried out an amazing experiment which showed that particles of light, photons, knew in advance what their distant twins would do in the future. How about that?
Wow.
Yeah. And the article goes on, and if anybody wants to search for it, you can. The article is in the Huffington Post. The article is written by Robert Lanza, L-A-N-Z-A, and he's an MD, and it was published on August 18th. It's a
wow.
It's a very interesting article. But using our psychic abilities are natural, and they're all very natural to us. I'm sure every one of your listeners has probably had these moments, these gut feelings that never steer us wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you have. You have plenty of them. I know you. I know you have plenty of them. And you're very good at it. But, you had to practice it. You had to learn how to manage it. I did too.
And how to trust it, I think, too. I think a lot of people don't trust their instincts.
Exactly. Because in our culture here in the United States, at least, in most places, our schooling is taught to be more left brain. And what I have found is that it is more of a right brain exercise. And I had thought at first I would lead off with a meditation, but I think I'd like to change that if you don't mind.
No, that's fine. We can go with the flow here.
Okay. Let's get right into this. I'd like to, because what I have found in teaching my classes is that our imagination, which science has proven, is that it's more of a right brain exercise, and in that our imagination is tied to our psychic or intuitive abilities. It's also aligned with our body, and our body, mind, and soul cannot be disconnected. They're all really one. And this imagination, I'm going to go right into an exercise. So, and what the benefits of this are, when we learn to develop this, it helps guide us. It helps us so that we don't make mistakes. It helps lead us so that we can achieve our goals more effectively. We can map out and get and avoid obstacles. We get things done in a much more timely manner. And we end up having a whole lot more fun. And it just creates an environment where we are much happier and we instantly know the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So the exercise that I like everyone to join in with is this. It's very simple. Everybody just take a deep breath, and I'll do it with you. So just inhale through your nose. Nice deep breath to just relax, and then exhale through your mouth. And feel how calming that is. And then one more time, in through the nose, and out through the mouth, and feel how good that feels as you center your attention on your heart. One more time, in through your nose, and then out through your mouth. And now close your eyes, and now I'd like you to imagine that you're standing outside the door of your favorite restaurant. And if you don't have a favorite restaurant, pick a favorite place that you have that has a door. And while you're standing outside that door, notice everything that you feel, how your body feels, what the sounds are that you remember from the last time that you were there? What you may have smelled the last time that you were there? What you may have heard the last time you were there? The people that you were with and the way that they made that you felt, the feelings that you felt from those people while you were there? Now quickly imagine yourself inside that building. And notice the difference in how those feelings changed. And notice what the differences are. Notice the smells, the textures, anything that changed. Notice everything that changed. See how easy that is? Now, many of you may have heard of journeying. That's a shamanic thing. This is the same thing as using your psychic abilities. It's a right brain exercise. And I'm going to have you go through another exercise a little later. But this is to just get you started in focusing your intention. And I'm sure many of you have heard Dr. Wayne Dyer and the power of intention. Because our intentions, using our free will, is so important. Because we set intentions all the time. Mm-hmm. So noticing what your body is telling you is important to your psychic awareness. Your imagination is part of that. Your body is like a psychic antenna. Your entire body gives you signals, but we are not accustomed to paying attention to them.
Right.
So that's the first step, paying attention.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense, you know, just really tuning in. And can I ask you a question?
Sure.
One of the things that I have heard a number of other people talk about, and it happened to me yesterday, is that I felt such an electric charge in my body, and I have disrupted computers in our house and the computer network, and yesterday the power was blinking on and off, and then we went out to the garden, like I said, to pick everything out there, and I was picking peppers and all of that, and I said to my husband, I said, oh my gosh, this pepper has like an electric charge to it, feel it. And he's like, he took it and he was like, no it doesn't. And then he put his hand on my back and he goes, honey, that's you. So, you know, and I've heard other people talk about that. So, you know, I wonder, is that something that has to do with the psychic thing or energy, or what is that about?
Well, it does have to do with energy, because everything is energy, and it depends on the level of vibration or actually frequency. I always like to tell my students, whether I'm teaching a class on how to enhance your intuition, or whether it's doing one of my other matrix energetic sessions, you cannot, for instance, a table is vibrating at a certain frequency to maintain its stature as a table. Your body is vibrating at a certain frequency. The TV signal, even though you can't see it, it's vibrating at a certain frequency. And we as beings are always trying to raise our vibration so that we can become better people or souls, because we're actually a soul that lives in this human spacesuit. And actually, it's an organic spacesuit. And
mm-hmm.
by being able to raise our vibration, we have to make sure we do things to enhance that vibration. For instance, in getting and ensuring that we get accurate information from our psychic or intuitive abilities, we have to be able to clean out a lot of the soot that gets built up because we get programmed, because of this, we live in this organic computer of a body, but our soul, which is pure, that resides and maintains this human body, the life of this human body, gets kind of muddied up and gets filtered by things that happen to us, things that aren't so positive. And we have to find a way to neutralize that so that when we do and are able to recognize our intuition talking to us, that it isn't getting filtered through muddy water or through a dirty window.
Mm-hmm.
So this vibration that you're talking about, that you were probably experiencing a very high level frequency, like tuning up the volume on the radio or TV, you were probably vibrating at a very high frequency yesterday. And so when your husband touched you, he probably felt it. It was like sticking his finger in the electrical socket. So what were you doing prior to that?
Well, when it started, I was actually in a very high vibrational state. I was talking with my coach, Helen Graves, and we have these four-hour marathon meetings. So I was about, I think, 2 hours into it when the electricity started flickering on and off.
I once heard a gentleman speak who had worked for the government doing a lot of remote viewing for 21 years. And he gave an example because someone asked him about why do the lights flicker when I walk by, or why does this toaster blow up, you know, when I walk by. And he says, well, actually, did you ever consider that maybe the toaster has a consciousness too? And that the toaster wanted to just say hi?
Well, that's great.
I love the analogy. I just loved it.
Well, it's so good. And, you know, I wanted to mention it because I know that a lot of people have that. And I know that for some people it freaks them out. You know, the whole anything that has to do with the psychic realm, for a lot of people, it can make them feel a little, you know, uncomfortable. But I don't think anybody here today is feeling that way. I think they just want to learn how to really tap into their psychic energy. But if there is somebody who is feeling a little bit freaked out about it, or if, you know, a synchronicity happens and they're like, ooh, that's kind of spooky, can you help to get people past that little hump?
Well, actually, it's interesting because I live in what most people consider the Bible Belt. And I lived in, when I was bringing up my daughter, I lived in a very small town where I didn't actually, I really didn't even tell anybody about my abilities because I knew she would really be picked on if I did. So I'm very aware of how some people have to be very careful about talking about this. So yeah, this is an important topic, one that many people are afraid to talk about to other people, and especially where I live and the classes that I teach, they actually use my class as a support group, actually.
Oh, my gosh.
Really, they do. And
yeah.
I used to have the class once a month, and they asked to have it twice a month because they had nobody else to talk to about these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a very natural part of ourselves. But it's just that in our society especially, we are just taught more to be left-brain thinking. But even in our natural state of Hawaii, in the indigenous people of Hawaii, their children are naturally, the people who are not been as westernized as we are, those children naturally telepathically speak to each other. that's speaking without talking. They
wow.
can move objects without touching them. They do all kinds of things that we consider as psychic abilities. And it's just part of their culture. It's the same thing that happens with the people of the indigenous tribes in South Africa, in Australia, even the people of the Amazon tribes.
Mm-hmm.
They all do this. It's a natural, innate talent that an ability we all have. It's just that in our culture, it's just been squelched.
Mm-hmm.
And all we have to do is remember. In fact, that's why my class is named Remembering How to Tap Into Your Natural Abilities. All we have to do is remember. I don't teach anything. I just give people exercises to start them. It's like anything else, like driving the car. When we started to drive the car, we had to think about how much pressure to put on the accelerator. We had to keep looking, consciously looking in the rearview mirror, the left mirror, the right mirror, the center mirror, you know, where our hands were, look at the road, look at this, look at that, look at this, look at that. But then after a while, we didn't have to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have to do with our intuition or our psychic abilities, we have to find ways to get in touch with or remember what those signals are for us. And
right.
the way to do that is through some of the exercises I give in class, but if not everybody can attend my class or have me as a coach or some or have one of my workshops. But you can start on your own simply by doing meditation. That
mm-hmm.
will immediately start to enhance your ability to recognize your own personal intuitive signals. And
right.
it can be any kind of meditation that works for you.
Mm-hmm.
As an example, you know, most of your listeners, I'm sure, probably don't live on a mountaintop in the Himalayas somewhere, so they can't sit around in a lotus position studying their navel. So at least I can't.
Probably not.
Even when I started meditating, I couldn't sit in a lotus position.
Mm-hmm.
I had to just find something that works for me. And okay. I have found that even whatever it is, we all have so much chatter going on in our lives and in our minds, especially in our society where we have so much information coming at us every single day.
Mm-hmm.
We have TVs, we have radio, we have computers, we have Wi-Fi, we have the iPad, the iTouch, all of gadgets. So what we have to do is learn how to recognize that little inner voice or those other little hints that are telling us that, oh, that's the signal. That's our personal signal. But finding a meditation, some form of meditation that works for the individual can be anything from gardening, journaling, jogging, going on a hike.
Sure.
It can, or for me, I used a book that I had been reading at the time back in 1979 was Edgar Cayce's method. He said, just try focusing on a blank sheet of paper or a candle flame. And as you focus, gently focus on the candle flame or a blank sheet of paper, when thoughts come into your mind, just let them float away in little bubbles and bring your attention gently back to whatever you're focusing on. without criticizing yourself, being kind to yourself, and just gently bring your focus back. I could not do the breathing. Forget it. Absolutely forget it. As soon as I started focusing on my breathing, I went into anxiety, panic attacks. Absolutely could not. Still can't do the breathing. Absolutely not. Friends do, you know, go to do breathing workshops. Can't do it. Nope, thanks. Can't do it.
Yeah, you know what? I don't like those either, really. And one of the things that I talk to people about when I discuss meditation with them, because I suggest it too, I think it's a wonderful vehicle for my purposes with what I'm trying to do with clients. I tell them, don't worry about trying to clear your mind and all that business. What I want them to do is I want them to observe themselves and observe what is going through their mind and all of that kind of thing. And I would imagine you feel the same way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You want to clear your mind so that you get to a place of calm, so that all the chatter stops, so that you begin to recognize the difference between all the chatter and that still small voice that so many of the ancient writings talk about, that is your little voice or that gut feeling, that connection that's different from all that chatter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that feeling, that knowing that beyond knowing, the
right
thing that nobody can really explain, but you just know that it's right.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way that you can explain it to somebody, but you just know it's right. But right now, until you are able to differentiate between those, the inner chatter and that little tiny voice, there's no way you can expect to have your psychic abilities enhanced until you can differentiate between the two.
Mm-hmm.
But meditation is very important. But there's another thing that you need to do before you start your meditation, and that is finding whatever method that works for you. Again, it's all up to the individual on this, which is good, because you do need to do some sort of either a prayer or a visualization of protection, because there's lots of little other souls who like to play tricks on us that are floating around that can be mischievous, and we don't want them interfering with us.
Right.
So if you're a Christian, you can say the Lord's Prayer. If you're Muslim, you can use whatever prayer you want. Or you can simply surround yourself with a white light before you go into the meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And setting that intention, even if you're not good at visualizing, just setting the intention of the white light is good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you do it, it's just like anything else. The more you practice something, the stronger it's going to get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things that I wanted you to mention just a little bit is the Lindwall release, because I think that for a lot of us, I don't know if it's true for everybody else, but it certainly was for me, before I started working with and developing, well, I don't want to say developing, but really kind of tapping into my own intuition and psychic abilities and all of that sort of thing, there was a lot I had to let go of. I mean, I had to let go of all of the fears and things like that, like, well, you know, this will freak me out, or, you know, so those kinds of fears, and also the fears of, well, I don't know if I really have that ability, and what if I don't, and what if I do?
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about Lindwall releasing and how that kind of fits into this.
Well, this is where that cleaning out the soot or cleaning out the windows come in, because you really do need to clean out so that you become what we call a clear channel, so that you aren't influenced by negative emotions or limiting beliefs. And the limo releasing was developed by Dr. E.E. Limwall, Elmer Limwall. He passed away in April of 2007. And I was guided to him, actually, after I learned to meditate. And he came up with this very easy method. And through, But he came up with this very easy method of recognizing what negative emotion or limiting belief that you may be carrying around with you, because we're always being, like I said, we're an organic computer, and we are constantly being programmed by our five senses, and also we're being programmed subliminally. Let's go back to our childhood. The first people we were being programmed by were whoever were our caregivers, as well as our siblings or people who were, whoever we were around. And those people gave us messages that we are now carrying around with us. And I, one of the people that I like to quote is Dr. Bruce Lipton, and many of your listeners have probably heard of him. He is the Stanford University professor, also an MD, who taught medical students. He also is a researcher and had been cloning since back in the 70s. And he found out during his research in genetics and on genes, gene research, that what he was teaching was actually wrong, because they used to believe that, you know, genes, whatever your genes said, that was what you're predestined to become. Mm-hmm. But he found out during his research that wasn't true. So now he says that 99.999% of what we believe is totally unconscious to us. But yet it's all energy stored in every single subatomic level of our body, which is all energy, which, as we know from the law of attraction, like energy attracts like energy. Mm-hmm. And we wonder why, when we create vision boards, that we still can't attract what's on that vision board. Well, if we haven't cleared out all this other unconscious stuff of negative emotions or limiting beliefs, how can that vision board possibly overcome this 99.999% of negative stuff and limiting beliefs that we are carrying around with us? How can it overcome all of this other stuff? So right. Limwall releasing is like this. My example is, my mother died when I was a baby, only 17 months old, and my father gave us to my maternal grandparents to raise. So I have always had issues with abandonment and not feeling loved, and especially abandonment. So I had I never felt a part of my mother's family either. So mm-hmm. as an example, I would have to say things like, when I first started releasing, I would say, I release the feeling of abandonment by my mother when I was 17 months old. And then I would have to follow it up, because nature abhors a vacuum. I'd have to follow it up with an affirmation of, I know that I am loved and I belong in a family. Mm-hmm. Then I would, and it's so fascinating, because as soon as you say one release statement, it's like popcorn. The next, another thing that I would need to release will automatically pop into my conscious mind. And it's that simple. So then the next thing would come up with, oh my goodness, oh, I just remembered something else. The next thing might be something that had to do with my sister. And So I had an issue with my sister. I might say I released the hate for my sister for stealing every boyfriend I ever brought home, for stealing my boyfriend, Jimmy Farmer, when I brought him home for the first time when I was 16 years old. Mm-hmm. And then I'd say, I love my sister and I love myself and I forgive my sister for stealing my boyfriend when I was 16 years old. Following it up with an affirmation. And you can feel, you can literally feel it in your body. You can feel the tension. You can feel the heaviness go away from your body. And I saw this happen to so many people because we attended workshops every other weekend, and I was with a group of 12 young adults with the Limwalds who were mentored by them, and I saw people go through these workshops, and we would be crying. Never once did our eyes swell. People would come out. They would look younger. I use it in my classes, and I tell people they're going to look younger. They're going to feel lighter. Their faces are going to be brighter, and they all go, oh, come on, Jeannie, give me a break. I mean, I have PhDs in my classes, and this one woman said, you know, I told them next week we're going to do Limwell releasing, and she said, oh, come on, you know, you can't really, you know, these things really can't make it that, is that easy? That can't happen. So the next class, they come, and I have them do the releasing. I'm standing on the other side of the room. She works with her partner. She counts her partner down. She counts her back up. And out of her mouth, she says, oh, my God, Linda, your face is so bright. You look so much younger. And I gently walk over to her, and I put my hand on her shoulder. I say, now, what did you just say? She said, oh, my God, I did say that, didn't I?
Well, and it's incredible. And what you're really talking about, and I think that this is a psychic thing, too, is that we have so much power that we don't recognize and we don't tap into. And maybe power is the wrong word, but, you know, I study acutonics, which is looking at Chinese medicine and using tuning forks. And one of the things that we're exploring now is, you know, it's great to have the tuning forks. That's a great piece of it. But if you don't have your forks with you and you want to work with somebody or help somebody, you can just use your hands and your intention. And I just attended a workshop with Lindsay Wagner, and she did the oneness blessing where people are trained in this, and they go to, you know, they go around the whole room and they put their hands on you, on your head, and they just do this blessing. And I had four or five people do it with me, and I felt completely different things with each person. And it was just such a gift to have that. But it was simply that, you know, we don't recognize our own power. We feel that we need all of these different tools and all of these different things and all of this, you know, training. And like you said, it's really uncovering what's already there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's what happens. And it's just so important that we recognize what it is that we need to, what it is that is either a negative emotion that we're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And what this also does, it brings us back to the present moment. The present moment is where we are the most powerful. So it brings us back to the present moment. It gives us a tool that we can easily use anywhere, anytime. And then it also gives you the ability to clear out all of this junk we're carrying around, like Dr. Lipton talks about, this stuff that we're totally unconscious of, which is all this energy that we're trying to fight, we're really fighting against, because it's this energy we're carrying around that's attracting things we really don't want.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's vibrating out, and we can't stop it. Energy is always vibrating out. It always has a vibration, and it's attracting back to us things we don't really want in our life.
Yeah.
So as we become aware of it and then neutralize it by putting back in a positive affirmation, then automatically our lives begin to change. And
mm-hmm.
also automatically our psychic abilities start to awaken also.
Mm-hmm.
That is how my psychic abilities, because what happened when I was with the Limwalds, where we were being mentored by this, by them, the 12 of us were best friends, and we were releasing all the time. It got to the point where we would telepathically be able to communicate with each other. I would use this. One time I was working in an office, and a colleague's mother-in-law was having breast cancer surgery, and I was in Georgia, and her mother-in-law was in Alabama, and she came into my office, and she was very worried, and I said, this is important. I said, you want to send her love, not worry or fear. I said, mm-hmm. Let me show you how powerful you are. And so I used the example because my best friend worked on the other side. I was living in Atlanta at the time. I said, I'm going to send a mental message to my best friend who works on the other side of Atlanta to call me. So all I did was quickly send my best friend a mental message to call me, just really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there with this young lady, and I said, I want to show you how powerful your thoughts are. The receptionist was sitting outside my door, and the phone rang. And normally I would just pick up the phone, and she would buzz me. But this time I said, okay, I said, please ask who it is. And she says, may I ask who's calling? And she says, oh, she said, it's Pat. That was my best friend. Well, of course, this young lady just like about fell off her chair.
Mm-hmm.
I pick up the phone. I put it on speakerphone so this young lady could hear what I said. Out of my best friend's mouth came, did you just send me a message to call you?
Mm-hmm.
Honest to God, that's what she said.
Well, and we had a little bit of that this morning, too, which was kind of funny because I was thinking of you when you were thinking of me, and I thought, oh, I need to check my email, which I don't generally do necessarily in the mornings. And I thought, oh, I need to check that. So that was kind of a funny thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. We're all connected, too.
Well, and tell me now, what are some... Because, I mean, we've talked around a lot about how to develop your psychic abilities with the meditation, the tuning in, the releasing, kind of seeing yourself from the place of the observer so that you can, kind of tap into these things. Tell us a little bit about the practical applications of this. I mean, I'm seeing all kinds of applications, but let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, there's a lot of... A lot of exercises I give in my classes and in my mentoring that I offer people, because there's ways of using your energy to help to synchronize yourself with groups, with relationships to people, with
mm-hmm.
getting guidance for your own self to make your life easier. Also, there's one exercise that I'd like to do right now.
Sure.
Let's see. Let's start out by having everybody think of a decision. And you can do this too, Aricia.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't pick something that's monumental. Just pick something that is kind of not a real easy decision, but pick something that you have to make a decision about that has just two choices, like a yes or a no, or but something that has two choices.
Okay.
And then, this has to do with using your imagination. This is a right brain exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And all you have to do, even if you think you can't use your right brain is think about your right brain. That's as simple as that. It's just, if you don't think you can use it, all you have to do is think about your right brain. Your right brain's going to go into activity because you set the intention by thinking about your right brain.
Okay.
So then I would like you to imagine a jacket. Now imagine a jacket that is one that you don't already have. Imagine a jacket that is plain and ordinary. Now, this little exercise will be coming out in a book that probably that will be published by next summer. So imagine a jacket, and now the pick one of the choices that you will need or thinking about making, and either write that in your imagination, just write that choice all over that jacket, or you can just infuse the energy of that choice into that jacket. And if it's easier for you, you can close your eyes while you do this. Sometimes it's easier if you close your eyes because you're not getting all this extra input while you're imagining. So you just infuse that energy or write that choice that you have to make. Now, pick that jacket up. Imagine yourself picking the jacket up and putting your left arm in, and then your right arm in, and then pull that jacket onto your body and watch what it does. It will do something. It may change shapes. It may change colors. Notice how it feels on your body. It will feel a certain way. It may change completely into something entirely different. But notice what it does, because it will do something for you. Because remember I told you, your entire body is a psychic antenna.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now take your right arm out, your left arm out, take the jacket off, and lay it down next to you. Now imagine a second jacket, again, another one that you don't currently own, and infuse or write on that jacket the second choice that you need, or the second option that you have to make or would like to make for this decision onto that jacket. And then pick that jacket up and put the left arm in, the right arm in, and pull that jacket onto your body. And notice what happens. How does it feel? How does it smell? Does it change shapes? What does it do? How does your body feel? Notice what happens. After you've noticed whatever happens to it, take your right arm out, your left arm out, and take it off and lay it down. And as I said, this is going to be included in my book that's coming out by next summer.
That, can I tell you about my experience? Because this is really wild.
Please.
To me. So, okay, so the first jacket, yeah, I'm like pondering something, and I won't go too much into it, but I'm trying to figure something out. And I put on the first jacket, and it actually, I was like scratching. I mean, it's like it felt kind of itchy, and my shoulders were immediately tight.
Uh-huh.
When I put it on, and it actually, the jacket did not change other than it kind of started falling away like somebody had poured acid on it.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was
You're
really weird.
Giving me chills.
It was like chunks. Yeah, it started just falling apart. And then the second jacket that I put on, and it really was. I mean, this is a tough decision for me. I picked up the second jacket and I put it on. And it started changing. At first, I didn't think anything was going to happen. And then as you went on, it started changing into like a cloak of flowers that were about to bloom.
Wow.
Yeah,
you're giving
I mean,
me chills
so there
again.
You go. I think I got my answer.
I think you. I definitely think you got your answer.
What a great exercise! I love it.
Thank you. Thank you. You see how the imagination and that right brain connect? But it,
oh, yeah.
But you can't disconnect the body, mind, and spirit. It's all one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all the right brain stuff. It's like Dr. Jill Bolte Taylor when she explained how she had her stroke. And
right.
She, you know, it was her left side that had the stroke. And she
mm-hmm.
had this right brain experience.
Right. Yeah, that was wild. If people want to look that up, I think most people here have seen it, but if you're listening to the archive, if you haven't seen it, you can find it on TED Talks, and it's Jill Bolte Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, and she is a neuroanatomist, and she was talking about having a stroke and what that was like for a neuroanatomist to study from the inside out. That was an incredible talk, and I'm going to tell you about another one by Ken Robinson on creativity in schools. And I think that that relates to this because Jeannie's talking about how when we tap into creativity, that's kind of the same area as the psychic realm. And that's going to help us to really tune in and have more insights and you know, more ahas and also more of the psychic stuff. So that's
mm-hmm.
That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the more intuitive we are, the more aha moments we have.
Mhm. Mhm. Oh my gosh. So somebody in the chat room said that she was having extreme nausea with one of the choices. So there
Ooh,
you go.
That's
yeah.
a big sign.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Congratulations.
So that will definitely let us know. Yeah, so I think she got her answer too. So you know, we've got a few more minutes left. Tell us if there's anything else that you're thinking that's like, ooh, I need to make sure that I mention this. If there's something that you really want people to know, because I mean, we've already gotten so much information. This is just terrific. But is there anything else that you wanted to talk about?
No. Are there any other questions from the audience? I can't think of anything right now.
Yeah. In the chat room, there's just a lot of activity and a lot of people are talking about their experiences with the, you know, with the jackets. I mean, what a great thing. And I have a question, too. I mean, do you have a title for the book or where people can get the book? Because, you know, people will be listening by archive. So, you know, they'll be listening a year from now and they'll want to pick up your book.
Well, the title, I'm sure, will have something to do with living from your inner genie. And thanks to one of our colleagues from Whispering Energy, he helped me come up with that little title, Dr. Tina Van Leuven, or Van Leuven, as we lovingly call her. And then anyone can get in touch with me now if they would like to learn more on and get and have mentoring. And I will be having teleclasses or workshops to develop their psychic or intuitive ability. The class goes into much more than that. I teach them about conscious languaging. We learn about spiritual laws. We also go a lot into how the quantum physics explains how powerful we really are.
Mm-hmm.
We do a lot of these types of exercises where you work with each other and how you work with a partner to connect. So you get, it's very experiential. And I work over the phone. I use Skype. And they can contact me at livingwisely@yahoo.com. And my website is www.psychicgenie, and that's psychic, JEANNIE.com. That's psychicgenie, JEANNIE.com. And I would look forward to anybody contacting me if you have any questions. and check out my website, because also the Matrix Energetics that I do is also amazing. It can be done over the phone and Skype, and also do remote sessions. I even do, you don't even have to be present to receive a session. I even have clients in India that I do remote sessions on.
Right. Yeah, that's great. And, you know, it really is true that our energy, we are just bodies of energy, and so that can travel all over the world. We don't necessarily need to be right there. So I'm glad that you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Great.
Does anybody have any other questions?
I don't see other questions coming through, but I have a feeling that people are probably surfing out to your site right now as we speak. We've been posting it in the chat room, so I have a feeling that some people are kind of visiting that. But, I just want to thank you so much for joining us. This is just really terrific information.
Oh, thank you, Risa. You're a great host, and thank you for inviting me on. And I look forward to hearing everybody. I've maxed out on my Facebook friends page, but I do have an extra fan page so people can find me. If they go to my regular page, there's a link to my extra page, because I'm a fan of everybody else. So it's not that I'm a fan. I don't think that I have to have a fan page. I'm a fan of everybody else. They can find the link directly on my regular page to the new page.
Okay, and that's Jeannie White, and your last name is spelled W-H-Y-T-E, correct?
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Arisa,
all right,
for remembering.
Yep, that sounds good. That sounds good. Well, great. Well, thank you so much for being with me. And I also want to thank all of our listeners, whether you are here live or if you're listening to the archive, we truly appreciate you. And thanks to Trinity Damask of Third Road Home for the beautiful music that we bring our show in and out. Please visit her at www.trinitydemask.com. She just has some beautiful, soulful music. Next week, I will be joined by Nicola Koresh, and she will be talking about dancing with the divine. Doesn't that sound divine? I think it's going to be wonderful. So until next time, dear ones, bring your light out into the world. And I encourage you to connect with your own psychic self. Have a great week, everybody, and I look forward to talking with you next time.
Hoping to find my way home. I once believed in a place at the end of the rainbow, destination complete. But I know now the journey's the answer to the Fading denial, sweep the old.